Welcome to the Business of Behavior podcast, hosted by Dr. Becca Tagg. We support clinicians who have been bitten by the entrepreneurial bug, looking to strengthen their practice to better serve their clients, employees, and themselves.
Hello, and welcome to the Business of Behavior podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Becca Tagg, and this is session 40. Today, I want to talk a little bit about a phrase that I learned from a dear friend, Dr. Jan Estriado, who is in San Diego, California. She is a fantastic psychologist, and I had the pleasure of working with her when I was a practicum student at Sharp Mesa Vista Hospital. She was an intern at the time, and we were on some of the same rotations and in general got along quite well with our love of 90s R&B. And I found that I was volunteering for everything. And then resulted in being super stressed because I had a million things to do. And she coined the phrase helium hand. And that really resonated with me and created such a clear visual of this balloon, a helium-filled balloon tied to my hand, that anytime someone asked for volunteers or help with something, that balloon would rise up to the sky and my helium-filled hand balloon would be seen, and then there I was doing something different or something extra. And it really got in the way. And I think that this is something that has probably always been a challenge for me in things that are super important or super interesting to me, because I want to be involved and I want to learn and soak up as much as possible. But the thing is that when you volunteer for everything and you're doing everything, there are some problems with that, right? Because one, then you have a ton of shit on your plate, but also you are so full that you may find that not everything is getting your 100% or your best. And you may end up feeling resentful about having so much to do. And yet, who are you resentful at? Because you're the one, we're the one, I'm the one who volunteered to do this. And so it's not that we don't want to volunteer, but again, time is our most valuable resource. And so we want to be purposeful and intentional with how we spend our time. And helium hand indiscriminately is not helpful. And so when you notice yourself volunteering for things or feeling pulled to volunteer for things, maybe it's about taking a moment and think, do I have to do this? Because there's also some times where there's things you may have done in the past. And so you say, oh, well, I should do this. I've done it before. But maybe you're at a different point in your career or life or really any place that you don't have to do everything. And by not volunteering to do something this time doesn't mean that you're not going to volunteer and do it another time. So, for example, if there's some data entry that needs done and you have a bunch of reports to write or intakes to do or supervisions to do, those are things that only you can do. And so by not volunteering for the data entry, you're not saying that you are better than doing that data entry. Perhaps you're saying that I can't do this right now and somebody else can do that. And it's about the best way to distribute the resources or the time. And you should be doing what only you can do and leave other things for other people, and not because you're better than them. And maybe next time data entry needs done and you don't have a million other things on your plate, you do help out with that data entry. The other piece is that sometimes when we are volunteering, we are also taking that opportunity away from somebody else. And so if it's something that you've done before, maybe hanging back and waiting to see if somebody else is open and interested in that experience as well. Also, sometimes our helium hand gets going because we are uncomfortable with the waiting. And what I mean by that is when you're sitting in a room of people and somebody says, I need someone to clean the toilets, and there's silence, sometimes we feel uncomfortable with that silence. And I know that when I was going through my psychology training, that was a struggle for me initially, is leaning into that discomfort of the silence. Silence is not bad. It just is. And yet for some of us, I should only speak for myself, and for me, there are times when that silence felt like anxiety or uncomfortable, or when it was quiet, I would start filling in that silence with my own private events, my own covert behavior. I'd be that negative tape, or those stories that we tell ourselves would start, right? Which for me would go something like this. Somebody asked for volunteers. Nobody's saying anything. I should be volunteering. People are thinking that I think I'm too good to do this, so I'm not. So that's why I'm not volunteering. Or, oh my gosh, it's not going to get done if I don't volunteer. Or I'm not leading by example if I don't volunteer. Or it'll never get done and then everything's going to go to pot. Right? Those are all stories I'm telling myself, none of which are true. And so by volunteering, we can silence that internal dialogue that is not helpful. So it's reinforcing, right? So I keep doing it because when I volunteer, those internal stories I'm telling myself that are often maladaptive stops. And so what do we know about reinforcement? Well, when something we like happens after a behavior, we keep doing that behavior again. And I like when those negative stories I'm telling myself stop. And so I keep engaging in that helium hand behavior. And maybe you do the same. And so it's also an opportunity to practice the pause, which if you're interested in mindfulness or really a variety of other things, you may have heard about that. And so practicing the pause means you lean into that silence. Instead of reacting, you're taking a few moments to think about how you want to respond, right? And a response is often more thought out, more thoughtful, whereas a reaction just sort of happens, right? Like when you're at the doctor and they hit your knee with that hammer thing and there's a knee-jerk reaction. You're not thinking about it, you're just doing it. And helium hand can become kind of a reaction like that. That, as we know as behavior analysts, is the result of a learning history. Well, when we can practice the pause and wait and think about, do I need to be doing this? Will this help move me towards my values or goals? Or is this a reaction? Am I feeling pulled to do this to reinforce a behavior that maybe I don't want to reinforce anymore? Then you can choose, purposefully respond to the request. Does that make sense? It's so hard doing these podcasts sometimes because I'm talking and I'm looking for feedback, and so I'm not sure if it's landing. But I guess that's the beauty of the emails and the feedback in the Business Builders group, or text messages or Facebook messages. I really appreciate hearing whether what we're talking about lands or is helpful. So for helium hand, it's about maybe you're doing this, maybe you're volunteering and you know, letting that helium balloon pull your hand up towards the ceiling when people are asking for volunteers, because it's reinforcing that cessation of those uncomfortable private events that might be occurring. It might also be reinforcing because when you volunteer, people often give you social praise. Thank you so much, Dr. Beckett. Thank you for doing that. That's such a huge help. And for those of us who are motivated by or reinforced by social attention, that can be really powerful. And yet, do we have to do all of it? Right. So again, coming back to that practicing the pause, you have to volunteer for everything. Even if you really like that socially provided attention, do you have to do that for every single thing? And gosh, maybe the volunteering doesn't get in your way, in which case, keep doing it. The helium hand is not necessarily a negative or an undesirable thing. And if for some of us, we're finding that by volunteering for so many things, we're creating unnecessary busyness or unnecessary stress, then we need to clip that string between our wrist and that helium balloon. Because if it's not serving us well, then we need to make some different choices. And we can only do that when we're really clear on what our own learning history or what our own motivations for doing it are. And so for me, it's usually that it silences that negative self-talk or those covert behaviors, those private events, that the stories I'm telling myself, right? It depends on, those are all different ways to say the same thing. Some is more behavior analytic in nature, and some is more the language that I use in therapy, psychological sort of talk therapy. Whatever it is, silencing it can be really reinforcing. And so we keep doing that. And the only way to do something different is to do something different. And so when you notice those private events, that those stories you're telling yourself come through your mind, you can either choose, okay, I still want to volunteer for this, or you can say, gosh, here I go again. I want to try and do something a little different. I'm going to wait and see if somebody else volunteers, or my plate is full enough. I just cannot take on something else and do it well, so I can't volunteer for this. And it is not my responsibility to make sure that everything gets done. So for some people, helium hand can be a challenge, and for others, it's not a big deal, right? So looking at what are the behaviors you're doing, and is it helping you move closer to your goal? And for me, there are times that helium hand has done exactly that. And there are other times that by volunteering for things and saying, I'll do this and that and this and that, I've created a lot of additional stress that I didn't need and really didn't want. And so only by getting a more clear understanding of why I was engaging in that behavior, why I was regularly volunteering for everything indiscriminately, was I able to get more understanding of how I could be more purposeful and intentional in selecting activities, and also to be compassionate to myself about why I was doing that. And through that greater understanding, I hope I've been able to make some more intentional responses when people are asking for volunteers for something. So again, time is our most valuable resource, and I appreciate those of you who choose to continue to spend that time with me here on the Business of Behavior podcast and on the ABA Business Builders Facebook group and via email and text message and Facebook messages. I really enjoy being able to provide what I hope is value to our community and to try to create what I wish existed when I was first starting out, and what I have received from some really great mentors and supervisors in my 15-ish years in the field. If you have any suggestions for things you'd like to talk about, or if you'd like to come on and be interviewed, or gosh, we could do a reverse interview, whatever feels comfortable or whatever you think would be helpful and provide value for our community, I'm certainly open to that. If you're listening on iTunes, you want to be sure to subscribe and leave feedback. I read all of them and really enjoy getting that feedback. So again, time is our most valuable resource. I appreciate you spending it here with me on the Business of Behavior podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Becca, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.